it's all about you. It's all about each one of us because we are creating this world. And each one of us, every thought that we have is so incredibly important because we're creating the world around us. Wow, that's a big responsibility, right? I was looking at the Science of Mind. Somebody had come and they left the Science of Mind magazine 2012, whole year, and I pulled one out because it looked like my new grandbaby, and I thought, oh, this is so good, and I'm reading one of the things, and it talks about the world emerging through you. And in 2012, there was a lot of stuff going on, just like today, there's a lot of stuff going on. And I was reminded of Mary Morrissey, who was showing some magazines from the 70s. Everything that they talked about back then, still what they're talking about today. So it's like we just keep recreating and recreating some of the same stuff. And so when it comes down to it's all about me, it's all about you, it's all about us, as we're creating this world, we get an opportunity to shift the perspective. Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. The perspective. So the question comes, does the way we live our life and how we feel about ourselves have an effect on the world? Ah, because it's all about us. So within, so without. So if we're creating disharmony, anger, frustration in our own little world, it's going out there into the world. The first organ that ever happens in our bodies that's created is the heart. And they're doing so much research on the heart at the Heart Math up in near Santa Cruz in Scotts Valley. The Heart Math, they are recognizing how powerful the heart is because it's our strongest organ and sends out vibrations. So if our heart is sending out vibrations that are creating the world, wouldn't it be important for us to be at that space of love? Every breath we take, being that vibration of love and putting down anything that doesn't serve us, that doesn't serve the world. Because inside of each of us, we're creating our own little world. You're the center of your own universe. I'm the center of my own universe. And the more we focus on things that are in beautiful harmony and peace. I'm thinking of like a garden and like a weed patch. It's like a few little weeds and then you've got more and then you've got more and then you've got more. Or I've seen flower patches and then more and more and more. So it's the same thing with our thoughts. It's like, do we want weeds? Or do we want beauty and brilliance in the universe and within our lives? Ernest Holmes in The Science of Mind says this: the science of mind is based entirely upon the supposition that we are surrounded by a universal mind into which we think. As we think into the universal mind, we set a law in motion which is creative and which contains within itself a limitless possibility. So it starts with the thought, and yet what we're learning more and more every day is that the feeling, the emotion, is the thing that transcends everything. So we have the thought, and then we put it in our heart, and if we can put it into our heart with an emotion of love, then we're setting a vibration out there of love, where we are magnetizing to us that which we are feeling, acting as if it's already happened, that there's already peace and love and joy in the world. Just knowing it with every part of us. And I just got back from Nebraska, spent a little more time with my mom, and what I found, because I've gone out there 3 times this summer, and my brother-in-law said, why don't you just stay a little longer? And it's like, small doses. Really good. So it's the same thing with family. You know, Eckhart Tolle once said, the minute you think you're enlightened, go visit your family, right? And I love my family, I do. And it's really easy, I think, for many of us, or maybe just for me, because it's all about me today, which is all about you because we're all one, to really get in the space of maybe judgment with family. Oh, why is he doing that? Although that reflection, because my mom looks so much like me, it's like, oh, why is she doing this? It's like, oh, if she loved herself a little bit more. I do find that pretty much anything we say about the world out there, we could just go to the mirror and say to ourselves. So being very mindful of that. and making sure that we're tuning in to the divinity of who we are. Ernest Holmes says this in this thing called You, because of course it's all about you. It's all about me today. The creative law which you use is like a mirror. The thought you hold before it is like an image. The mirror reflects the image you hold before it. Hold then there the image of faith and expectancy with enthusiastic conviction and with underlying trust. The only thing that can hinder you is yourself. The only thing that can help you is yourself, because it is you who reflects the image in the mirror. It's so true. It's like it really all comes down to us. And creating a world that works for everyone, creating a world of love and peace and harmony, comes with every single thought, every single feeling. They've done a lot of scientific studies. They've actually documented that for every feeling we have in our bodies, there is a chemistry that matches that feeling. Love chemistry affirms life. Hate chemistry denies life. Separation or unity chemistry, those feelings that we program into our body. And it's so amazing. Our thoughts are amazing, and it just takes us to something. How many of you are really good at visualizing? You can see something if, you know, you're kind of a visual person. So if I said, in my hand here, I have a beautiful, bright lemon. So yummy, so juicy, so yellow. And if you picture, imagine, pretend that I'm cutting that lemon in half. And thinking of how a lemon smells and how a lemon tastes. Did any of you have your mouth start to water just a little bit? And there's no lemon here, yet the creative imagination brilliant within you created an actual physical thing. It's the same thing with every thought that we have. Every thought is creating something physical within our body, and the electromagnetic field of who we are. You can feel when you walk in a room and somebody's upset or angry, or you can feel when you walk in and there's love, and then it just feels like, oh, more of that. So the more we can sit in that space and put down those thoughts that do not serve us, because any thought of judgment, of anger, of frustration, of things that are going on in the world, it's like, turn the news off. I turned it on for a day and it's like, ah! It's like, all right, let me step aside from that. And let me focus on the world that we're creating. And there's a lot of stuff going on out there in the world. And one of the things that we can do is find something every day to give. Can I give a smile? Can I give a hug? Can I give a compliment? Can I go through my closet and give something that doesn't serve me anymore and pay it forward? The more we can do something to give, it creates inside of us a wonderful feeling. Especially if you have a gracious receiver. My ex-mother-in-law was like the best. Oh my gosh, I love this! Used tube of lipstick. Oh, I love this. This is like the best ever. Thank you. She would just be so grateful for anything that you would give her. Give her a compliment. And she's like, oh, that is so sweet. Oh, you are just so kind. You know, it's like that givingness. And then you felt good and she felt good. So the more we can give, whatever it is, whether it be a compliment or even take a day and send out love letters to people in your life, you don't even have to mail them. They'll still get it because we're all connected in this oneness soup. It's a beautiful thing. Ernest Holmes also writes in this thing called You, spirit withholds nothing from you. To believe that God refuses the good you desire is to deny the goodness of God. It is a refusal to accept the profound conclusion of the one who said, it is done unto you as you believe. And I get more and more evidence of how incredibly powerful our thoughts are. So I have four wonderful, amazing children. I know I brag about them all the time, but I'm just so in awe of who they are and how they are. And it's like these creative, amazing little beings. And sometimes I had mentioned to my sister yesterday what the talk title was. It's all about me. And she's like, oh, kind of like the millennials, huh? I'm like, no, that is not my experience at all. Because there's a stigma out there about the millennials. And what my experience is that, You know, it's like when you get an airplane and they say, put the air mask on you first to fill yourself up so that you can take care of everyone else around you. I see the brilliance of the millennials. And when my youngest son was up at, he was living at Mount Madonna Yoga Retreat Center for a few years, actually. He's my little Buddha that walks on water. But I was up there spending a weekend, the first time I was having an experience up there, and all of a sudden, it was about sundown, and all these young kids come running out to the deck, and I'm like, what's going on? And they're like, sundown, sunset. We're here to watch the sunset. I'm like, oh, that is the world I live in. I love that. And to see that beauty and the brilliance that is unfolding, it's so fascinating. And to really look at the divinity of each generation and how we keep growing to the next level and the next level. And instead of judging it, praising it and being excited about it. Andrew, my youngest, when he first graduated from high school, he went to college for about a semester and thought it wasn't really time for him to go to school yet. And we were living back in Kansas City. I'm Nebraska, Kansas City kind of girl in the Midwest. And we were living in Kansas City, and he decided to take a little time with AmeriCorps, where he does some volunteer work and was getting a little stipend, and he was going to work at the inner city schools in St. Louis. So I took him down to St. Louis and dropped him off, and that was really hard. Yet trusting that each of our children have the brilliance within them to do what exactly is right for them. So Andrew's been practicing science of mind, practicing meditation, practicing for a long time, so I knew everything was good and great in his world. Well, it wasn't until he ended his time in St. Louis that he came to me and he said, I have to tell you something about my time in St. Louis. He was actually robbed at gunpoint. And I'm like, you didn't tell me right away? And he's like, I knew what you would do. You would come and get me and bring me home. But yet it was something I knew I needed to go through. And he said the gentleman came up, kind of, Andrew was talking on his phone at night, walking past an alley, and somebody stepped out of the alley and said, give me all your money. And Andrew is a person who is full of compassion and love. And he said, you know, I only have like $5 in my pocket. But I do have some money in my bank if you want to go to the ATM. He's like, you know, I don't know. He said, in that moment, I knew I didn't want to put fear out there because fear will just create more fear. He said, I surrendered everything and stepped into that space of love because I don't know what that person's going through. How could I know? For them to get to the space of such desperation to want to rob somebody at gunpoint. And he said, I do have money in my account if you want to go to the ATM. And so they walked down to the little drugstore, which then they're around more people, so that part was good. And the gentleman that was robbing him put his ATM card into the thing and got Andrew's PIN code, and Andrew had about $80 in there, so he took that and then gave him his card back and left. Well, then he did have, you know, every ATM has a little camera. So there it was right there, and they were able to catch the guy. But I thought it was interesting that Andrew didn't tell me right away. And I always like to back things up. If something like that happens, what were the thoughts before that? And Andrew said, you know, I thought about it a lot because a friend of his had been robbed at gunpoint. And he said, in that moment, I was thinking, huh, wonder how I'd react in that situation. It's like, oh, well, you kind of created that. Wonder how I'd react in that situation. Yeah, don't have that thought again. Let's not do that. Let's not go there. Because our thoughts are things. This is one of the most important things that we learn in this teaching is that our thoughts are things and they go out there in the universe like a wonderful mirror and bring everything back to us. The universal boomerang, I call it, as we're throwing the words out there, they come back. So being mindful at what we're putting out there with every thought, every judgment, every emotion. And when we get into those emotions of fear about what's going on out there, it's like we've stepped away from spirit. Again, my acronym for fear is forgetting every available resource. And biggest resource is spirit, energy, God, universal love, whatever you want to call it, the thing itself. Get into that space of, let me put that aside because that does not serve me. And let me step into the space of love. Because that's not only going to serve me, it's going to serve the world. And those thoughts of love and peace and harmony are going to serve my body well as I see the beauty and brilliance in everything. And even having mantras, I love the songs that we sing on Sunday. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. And keep remembering that and let it be a mantra over and over and over. In fact, I think when Lindsay was singing the song and I went to go look at the words, it's like, I am so blessed. I thought she said, because I know the words are, I am so blessed for all that I have. Did you say for all that I am?
I said I have twice and then all that I
am. Oh, I love that. For all that I am. Yeah, for all that I have and all that I am. Because each one of us is different. Oh, yeah, we are. Different and unique. And the more we make peace with ourselves, and it's like beautiful, brilliant, amazing, just as we are and just as we are not. That it's perfect who we are. And that every thought that we have is creating the universe. So the more we bring more of us together, thinking of like mind, thinking the love, the peace, the harmony, knowing that it's already here. It's already here. And getting into that space of excitement and enthusiasm. Enthuse comes from the Greek word God within. So we're inspired with that spirit within us that's flowing, that's magnetizing, and allowing our heart to send love out there to the universe. And if we take that love and we send it out there to the universe, of course we're getting more of that back. And the more we can immerse ourselves in that space of love, the more we just get more and more and more of it. Because how many of you would like a little more love, yeah? Yeah, so we just know that it's already here. I didn't know that they had this kind of report, but it's called the World Happiness Report. Reports and states that over 1 billion adults suffer from anxiety and depression. So how do we get happy? Part of it is a decision. We decide to be happy. There's actually a place called the Happiness University. It's on the East Coast. A friend of mine has been there a few times. He's like, I keep going to learn. And it's like, well, we just decide. And I know I've talked about body language before. Terry Cole Whitaker used to always say, fake it till you make it. And so we put the smile on our face and it's like, not there yet, but I'm telling my body I'm happy. Because it is a proven fact that we cannot have a depressed thought if we have a smile on our face. You can try it. Smile. Think of something depressing. Your facial muscles have to change. So this is where we fake it till we make it. It's like, all right, I'm just going to fake it until I make it. And then we are it. And then we get to that place of happiness. I was thinking about that. Sometimes people are like, yeah, I'm happy. It's like, well, you forgot to tell your face. Ah! Because once we tell our face and we put that smile on our face, then we just step right into the picture. It's like, oh, yeah, I am happy. I am happy. First person comes right back to us. The heart is the strongest organ in our body. It creates that magnetic field. It creates the vibration that brings to us everything that we're wanting. They state from the heart math that you can feel the heart 50 feet out. And if you were to close your eyes and get close to someone and they were sending you lots of love, you would be able to feel it. If they were sending you lots of anger, you would be able to feel it, and you might step back. Let me step back from that and let me step into a space where there's nothing but love. And it's all a creation within ourselves because we're making up the world. I remember Wayne Dyer, he would always do the row, row, row your boat. Row, row, row your boat. Don't row my boat. Gently down the stream. Don't try and go upstream. And just go gently down the stream. Go with the flow. Merrily. Be happy. Because life is but a dream. And it's the dream that we're creating. So what dream do you want to create? And the more we can take that dream, put it in our heart, and visualize everything that we're wanting and put the emotion around it, then we definitely step right into the picture. It's putting that emotion into it because then we magnetize it right to us. and the emotion and the thoughts and the believing. Of course, once we have the thought, we have the emotion, then we step right into the belief. It's already done. Then we're already here in this world of peace and love. As I come back to the words that Ernest Holmes says, spirit holds nothing from you. If you believe that God refuses you good, a good desire, then you deny yourself the good. Nothing can hinder you but yourself. Nothing can support you but yourself. So it all comes down to, how do you love yourself today? So my charge to you this week is to see love in yourself and get into that feeling of the emotion of it and sending love out to the world, because the world definitely needs it. And I really contemplate using the word need. All we need is love. Yet I'm knowing that the world already has it, and we are just the gentle reminders from the love within to the love without. So let's take all of that love inside our heart, and let's go inside our heart of hearts, closing our eyes to any distractions. As we just breathe in the fullness of life, knowing that as we breathe in, we breathe in that essence of spirit in, as, and through each and every cell in our body. And as we exhale any thoughts that do not serve us. Knowing that there is one mind, one power, one infinite intelligence. Knowing that that infinite intelligence is guiding and directing us always, always. That in this space, we allow ourselves to just be washed over with love. Letting go of the thoughts or the emotions that don't serve us, stepping into the brilliance of the universe. Knowing that life is good and life is very good. That as we smile, that as we allow love in our hearts and send it out to the world, that our life is enriched, that we continue to be immersed in that love space. Knowing that all the right people are always around us. Knowing that the universe is conspiring to support our highest good always. Knowing that every cell in this moment is vibrating at a whole new level, a whole new light. Beautiful light with rainbows and love. That everything is in divine alignment. And in great, great gratitude for this knowing that it's already done. That life is good, there's prosperity, there's love, there's health, there's harmony. I just release my word into the universal action of the law, knowing that all is well, as we anchor this in mind together by saying, and so it is. Namaste. Excellent. Thank you. That time for giving, knowing that as we give, we absolutely do receive. As we together in